Praise be to Allah, salatu wasalam, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions and his followers. At the end of the first example, we move on to the second example that we used in this chapter, and that's the example of the spirit, the soul. Says, as we know, the spirit or the soul has been described that the soul or the spirit is described in a way where things were attributed to it and things were not attributed to it. As a matter of fact, Ibn Taymiyyah says, that he is now going to move to the second example after using the first example, which is the bounties in heaven. The second example now is the soul, the spirit. And we said the spirit or the soul had characteristics that were proven to it and had things that are not attributed to it. For example, it was said that in the Quran that the soul or the spirit ascends in the heavens from one heaven to the other one above it. And also it was said in the Quran that, and in the hadith, in the sunnah, that the soul is pulled out of the body as the hair is pulled out of the wet dough. And that the movement of the soul is faster than the speed of light. And also was described in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the soul or the spirit of the believer when he dies comes out of his body just as a drop of water is poured out of a pot, meaning simply and smoothly and softly and gently. Ibn Taymiyyah continues and says that people and about the soul are in different categories. A group of people say that the soul or the spirit is a part of the body. And that the soul is attached to the body. Others said the soul or the spirit is basically the breath. Others said soul or the spirit means is a reference to life. It's not a physical thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, and they ask you about the soul. Tell them that the soul is a matter of God, that no one knows of it and about it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, stop right there. Stop at that point. That the soul is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, only knows about it and no one else knows about it. So don't bother yourself with analyzing, studying, and trying to figure out, because you're not going to know the fact of the soul or the spirit, because simply Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose not to tell His prophets, His messengers, His slaves in any book and throughout any message, throughout any era or any time or throughout any prophet. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept for Himself. Ibn Taymiyyah says, groups of philosophers. Ibn Taymiyyah says that some philosophers describe the soul as something similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we said prior, that there is an existence that has to exist and did not have something that created it, like the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is the possible existence, meaning the existence that needs something to bring it to existence, like people, trees, animals. This is an existence that can possibly exist, and it can possibly exist if someone brings it to existence, and it cannot exist without that. So Ibn Taymiyyah says that some philosophers describe the soul as something that exists. Not something that possibly exists, something that has to exist, meaning something like God. So they give attributes to the soul, to the spirits. They give attributes that does not fit anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For they say, the soul is not inside the body, and it's not outside the body. And they say that the soul is not moving and it's not stable, meaning it's not dynamic and it's not static, and it does not go up and it does not go down. And they say that the soul is not a body and it's not an intangible. So they're saying that it's not tangible and it's not intangible. So they attributed things that can be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they attributed these things to the spirit or to the soul.
Thank you. the philosophers gave attributes to the spirit of things that does not run itself and does not run others, meaning it does not control itself as a being, and it does not attribute to the body that it inhabits.
And in fact, it does not inhabit that body, and it is not separated from that body. And these are their definitions and description of the soul, that it is in the body and it's not attached to the body, and it is not static and it is not dynamic. It does not go up and it does not go down. And it is not a body in its own, and it is not a body that controls others. And they say that the soul or the spirit does not recognize and does not understand facts and nature of the universe and the nature of things outside of the mind. But it comprehends things in their entirety and in absolute. And they say that the soul is not inside this world and it is not outside this world. And they say that the soul is not separated from the world and it is not attached to the world.
مع تفسيره من جزء بما لا يقبل الإشارات الحسية مع تفسيره من جزء بما لا يقبل الإشارات الحسية فيصفونها بأنها لا يمكن الإشارة إليها.
And they describe the soul as something that you cannot point to, meaning it's something that you cannot put your finger on. The philosophers say that the body can be pointed out and pointed to. But the soul is something that cannot be pointed at or pointed to. In summary, Ibn Taymiyyah says that the philosophers describe the soul in a manner that nothing else can be described with these descriptions except things that don't exist or things the only thing that can be described in the same manner is things that don't exist and things that cannot exist. For example, when they describe the soul as something that is not static and not dynamic, nothing on earth is neither dynamic or static. It has to be one or the other. It cannot, if it's dynamic, then it's not static. And if it is static, then it's not dynamic. Nobody on earth can go through those two states at the same time. So they describe the soul as something that does not exist.
And in other ways, they describe it as something that is dead, like a wall or a door or a stone, by saying that it is it's attached and it is not attached. So Ibn Taymiyyah says to them, you acknowledge that there is a soul, that soul or a spirit exists, and you attributed to it things that no mind in its right mind can accept. And they replied, no, these attributes are possible. So if you argue with the philosophers, how do you describe the spirit with things that don't exist? And they would reply, no, these attributes are descriptions of things that exist. And they say no, you can attribute these attributes to the spirit. For example, when you say human can be anything or anybody, it can be anybody. It can be Adam or Noah or John or... But if human is none of these people, then is it possible to still say that human describes a man without pointing out to a certain or a specific person? The answer, as they say, is yes. When you say human is general and it describes all mankind. And that is exactly what a soul is. It is a general term. And Ibn Taymiyyah says, they claim that the soul is a meaning in the mind and it does not exist outside of the mind. It's a concept that is general, that ceases to exist if the mind cannot conceptualize it. And they fail to admit that the soul exists inside the mind or outside the mind, understood or not understood, or not understood. In principle, the philosophers say that the world is old. Philosophers say, like Aristotle said, that the world is old. And to them, the world means creatures, meaning the heavens, the earth, and everything in them are old, meaning that they were not, nothing existed before them. And they measure on that, saying that God, the Exalted, is old.
The
So they say this world is old, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is old, meaning nothing was before it. And that leads them to refusing the existence of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed before the world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the world. Ibn Taymiyyah was famous in responding to the philosophers, for a lot of the philosophy was translated in the days of Ibn Taymiyyah, and they started saying and preaching the arguments of the philosophers, and he stood up to them, and he was famous for standing up to them and disputing their claims. Ibn Taymiyyah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still to this point continues to create, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created before and is creating now and will continue to create until He wishes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates what He wishes and what He pleases. And the world as we know it, as we see it, has to have been nothing before. It did not exist before. This world as we know it, there was a point where it did not exist, and it had been brought to existence. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it to existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed before the world. So old is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is old. And every creature is old. And every creature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that was old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created something before it. So, and every creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created was nothing, meaning did not exist, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it to existence from nothing. At any time and at every time, there has been creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created were nothing, and they were brought to existence from nothing. And at the point that they were brought to existence, there has been creatures that were created before it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-khalaq, meaning the one that creates constantly and previously and presently and to the point that He wishes and pleases. So the philosophers say that this world that we know as is, as we know it, and the philosophers say that these creatures as we know them as is were not nothing and did not come out of nothing. They said that this world is old. The philosophers claim that this world is old and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is old. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create this world, because this world was had nothing, did not come out of nothing, and was old, meaning nothing was created before it, which leads to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed, Allah is old and the world is old, and they both existed at the same time, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create this universe, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed with this universe, which leads to disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the creator of everything as we know, meaning the universe and the creatures in it. So basically all the ayahs in the Quran that describe the creation of this universe, the heavens and the earth, the trees and the mountains, the day and the night, mankind and animals and other creatures. All the descriptions of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not true. So they use this imagination and this type of reaching conclusions in describing every concept, including the concept of the soul or the spirit. The philosophers call the soul, the spirit, as the speaking self. So they consider the soul as the self, it's the speaking self. And it is not part of this body, and it is not an element. So Ibn Taymiyyah says that the philosophers part of them considered the soul part of the body, as attached to this body. And other philosophers and others define the soul as in the negative, meaning saying the soul is not such, and the soul is not that, and the soul is not this, until they reach the point where the soul does not exist. So a part of them, because they don't understand the soul, say that the soul does not exist. Others say that the soul is attached to the body, and others call the soul the speaking self, and that it is not a part of the body. And it is a different creature. And Ibn Taymiyyah says that all of these sayings are false. And calling the soul a body or not a body needs detail. For example, if you're asked today, is the soul a body or not a body? Well, you cannot answer this question unless you know the definition of body. Well, body has a definition in language. Has a linguistic definition and has an understandable definition. In language, in linguistics, body means the form. For example, the form of humans is their body. So, by definition, soul is not a body. It does not have it does not have a shape like the body, as we know a body. So the soul is not a body.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term body in the Quran when he said to his messenger, and when you see them, you like the way they look, you like their bodies, meaning you like the way they look strong, and you want to use them in your army. When you see their bodies, you like their bodies, thinking that they're suitable for you to be in your army. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, use the word body, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he gave him wisdom and gave him body, meaning gave him strength and size. So this is the linguistic definition of the word body. So a soul is not a body. And those sects and those groups say that a body is what exists. The definition of a body is the thing that exists. So does a soul exist or not? Does not exist. It does exist. Because if they said the body is what exists, if the body is what exists, then the soul exists. The soul is a body because it does exist, and they acknowledge its existence. Then, by their definition, then the soul is a body, because they define a body anything that exists. Now the other definition of body, a body is a thing that manages itself, meaning it exists to manage itself. And the soul does not manage itself. The soul is concerned with the other, meaning it gives life to the other, does not give life to itself. In the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, describes the soul, the spirit of the believers, that when they are in their grave, their soul lives outside of their bodies, outside of their grave, in an area called al-barzakh, in the heavens. So the soul of the believer enjoys the rewards of the heavens until the day of judgment. And the soul is not imprisoned with the body when the body dies. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destines it to die, the soul separates from the body and dwells in an area called al-barzakh. And in al-barzakh, it enjoys the rewards of the believers. And in the opposite way is the soul and the spirit of the disbelievers. When they die, their soul separates from them and suffer the pains and the torment and the punishment of this lifetime until the day of judgment. It is in a constant state of punishment until the day of judgment. So punishment and torment does not cease to exist until the day of judgment. Punishment and torment starts after death, just as reward starts after death. So the state of connection between the soul and the spirit with the body is a matter of a will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For when
the soul and the spirit is attached to mankind, because man cannot live and exist without the soul. And the soul is in a constant motion or in a constant state of being with the body and being in a different place when the body is dead. And the Messenger of Allah also described the body when man is asleep, which is called the minor death. When man is in sleep, that the soul strays in areas that no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where it goes, such as certain types of visions that people have. For example, is the soul venturing outside of the body into areas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show? Some philosophers say that a body is what the body consists of, matter and picture, meaning matter, and when the matter is put together, it is at a certain shape, and that is the definition of body. And others say that a body is a collection of essence, meaning atoms. And according to these definitions, then the body is a tangible thing that you can point to. And other philosophers say a body is neither that or that. And they simply say a body, the definition of a body, is the thing that you can point to, the thing that you can see and feel, meaning the thing that is tangible. When you can point to something and say it's right there or right here, then that is a body.
كان قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ان الروح خرجت تبعها البصر.
And since a body is something that you can point out to, then the soul is something that you can point out to, and then it is a body, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the soul comes out of the body, sight follows it, meaning when a person is dying, he sees his soul coming out of him, and his eyesight, his eyes follow the soul as it is leaving, departing outside of his body. The dead person looks at his soul, cannot focus on anything except for that soul leaving him. So it is something that can be pointed out to, meaning something that is defined as a body, according to their definition. And since the soul or the spirit is a body, according to these definitions, and that the soul exists when living, and it is knowing, able, seeing and hearing, goes up and descends comes and goes and other attributes. The essence of all of the whole example that Ibn Taymiyyah uses is to tie this with their denial of Allah's names and attributes. Ibn Taymiyyah says that these scholars or these sects give attributes to the soul despite the fact that they cannot see the soul and they do not understand the soul. They put the soul in a body and defined it as a body even though they cannot even see it. And when they did that, they gave it attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to himself, such as this is a living soul, a hearing soul, a seeing soul, a soul that ascends and descends and comes and goes. And despite the fact they don't even see the soul, they refuse to give these attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they don't have any problem tying the creator to creatures or tying creatures to a creator. And despite the fact that they do not see that creator, they give attributes to a soul which is a creature of the creator, and they refuse to give the attributes to the creator despite the fact that the creator gives these attributes to himself and informs his creatures that these are his attributes. So Ibn Taymiyyah says, if you follow this logic and follow these theories and rules to the point that you accept the soul as a body or give a definition to the soul as a body and hence give attributes to the soul even though you don't see it, and just as you don't see it, you give it attributes, you can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you refuse to give him these attributes without even having to work your mind and conclude certain conclusions and certain attributes to the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you those attributes without having you think about them, told you that these are his attributes, and you reject them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a constant, perfect, deserving of the names and attributes that he has given to himself, and anyone who stops that, negates that, assimilates to that is ignorant or refusing to understand. So Ibn Taymiyyah says some philosophers gave a body to the soul and gave it attributes, and other philosophers refused to give a body to the soul and refused to give it attributes since it is not a body according to their conclusions. Ibn Taymiyyah says that in the same manner they differed in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. We said at the beginning that Ibn Taymiyyah has divided the Tadmuriyya letter into two chapters. One that covers the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other chapter covers the destiny.
And we said in covering the attributes and the names that Ibn Taymiyyah moves from one chapter to the other. And we said that in the previous chapter he uses two examples to tie with the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the example of the creatures in heaven and the example of the soul. Then Ibn Taymiyyah uses rules and says the first rule or constants is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first rule is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with things and described with the negation of things. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with things is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself in the Quran saying that he is able, hearing, seeing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with the negation of things, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described in negating attributes, meaning does not sleep, does not forget. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with confirming of attributes. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able, hearing, seeing. To complement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you complement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his names as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has confirmed them. And you complement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also by negating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not. And the other form of attribute, which is proving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what he is not, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep. And when you describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by negating what he is not or refusing what he is not and not accepting what he is not, then you are also complimenting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning you are giving him the name and the attribute, understanding it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ayat al-Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no God except him. He is the living and he is the creating, the all creating. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave himself two other attributes. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, meaning does not sleep or does not fall asleep and does not forget. Until the end of the ayah in Surah Al-Kursi, لا يؤوده حفظهما, meaning maintaining or controlling the universe does not tire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The running of the affairs of this universe does not make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tired. and does not burden him, and does not burden Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the definition of the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able, and the creature, mankind, is also able. But the perfection of Allah's ability is Allah's ability does not make him tired and does not burden him, unlike the creature's ability. Man is able as well, but man's ability has consequences. It makes him tired, and it burdens him, and it could cripple him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not similar to his creature, and Allah's attributes are not similar to his creature's attributes, even if the name is the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ignorant of any atom in the heavens and the earth, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of the state of every atom in the heaven and earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran, and we have created the heavens and the earth and everything between them in 6 days, and we were not touched with fatigue, meaning we were not tired. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth and everything between them, and this creation did not make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tired. And that indicates the, and that is the definition of the perfection of Allah's ability, meaning an ability with no, that does not cause, that does not make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tiresome, fatigued. Or a limit to the ability that makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disable subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes himself or in the ayah in the Quran saying la tudrikuhu al-absar, meaning eyesight does not reach him, meaning that mankind can look in the universe, can look anywhere, can look up, for example, and can see the sky, and this can see the stars, can see the moon, and can see the sun, and can see any creatures in the heaven or in the sky, but his eyesight cannot reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that man's seeing ability cannot reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the reach of man's eyesight. Some scholars say the meaning of this ayah is that man will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, and that man will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven, or the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven. And some scholars say that this ayah means that man will not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life or in any other life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the eyesight of mankind, that man's eyesight is incapable of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the eyesight of mankind cannot absorb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Taymiyyah says that Al-Mu'tazila and Al-Jahmiyyah say, use this ayah and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen even in heaven. So they deny seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life or in any life. And Ibn Taymiyyah says that this is not a compliment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because what is not seen is the things that don't exist. And you're not complimenting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you equate him with things that don't exist, with something that does not exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself, for example, as he is great. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite. And describes his throne as is like the earth is like a little ring of a chain thrown in the desert compared to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in size. And in different places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the throne as it's in his palm, in the palm of his hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great, and when you connect the in different places in the Quran and even in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the size of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself and the greatness of him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some scholars use that as the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sight of mankind cannot absorb it in magnitude and in size. Ibn Taymiyyah says that these sects, like the Jahmiyyah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen, and saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen is not a compliment. Ibn Taymiyyah says that the believer knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of this whole universe, and of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of mankind, and that mankind cannot be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is incapable of being aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same as sight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is surrounding everything, and nothing surrounds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the Salaf has interpreted this ayah as that mankind does not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. And that the sight of mankind cannot surround Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these scholars also believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's face is seen in the Day of Judgment, or the believers see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven. And as we've seen before, those who describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them disprove all of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of them accept some attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reject the majority of them. And some of them describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or give attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the negative, meaning saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak, does not exist over the world, does not exist under the world, does not exist inside the world. So they describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the negative, meaning they describe Him with the no, with the not. Saying, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in this world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not connected to this world, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exists not above this world and not below this world. And Ibn Taymiyyah says that these attributes describes the non-existent. If you say, if they describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a creature, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak and does not see and does not hear and does not exist in certain manners, then these descriptions, these negative descriptions, are affirming non-existence, or confirming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist.
قالوا الحق وأن يكون على الناس كمان ولا يستبدل الشاشة القضية يعني ليس بصفة خاصة من الكمال نبدوهم بصفة يستبدل الصفة الأخرى وإنما يكون على الناس تعالى بفعل الكمال إنما يؤدي إلى أن يشكلوا الله تعالى بالعدم أو يشكلوا الله تعالى بالمجتمعات قال ولهذا قال محمود اسمه سبح حكيم لمن ادعى ذلك في الخالق قل اسمه سبح حكيم رحمه الله تعالى
محمود son of Sabak the king was one of the leaders conquerors in Persia and he ruled a great part of India and Persia and he was a pious man and he was also a leader in conqueror and he was born in the year 421 of Hijra and he conquered a big number of lands A man named Abu Bakr ibn Fura al-Ash'ari. Claimed these things, these attributes. He said in front of this conqueror that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not this and it's not that and Allah is not this and it's not that and is not above the world and not below the world, not a speaker, not attached to this world and not separated from this world. Muhammad ibn Sabak Thakin answered him and said, distinguish to us the difference between this God that you describe and the non-existence. What's the difference between this God that you describe and non-existence? And also, that God that you speak of cannot speak and cannot come down, cannot ascend and cannot descend. And in saying that about God, that is not a compliment to God. And this is not perfection of God. You're trying to attribute perfection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying that Allah does not speak and does not descend. And this is not complimenting Allah, and this is not attributing perfection to Allah. Instead, these attributes that you give to God assimilate God with non-existent things and assimilate God with things that have shortcomings. A thing that does not speak is mute, and that is not a compliment, and that is shortcoming. So you attribute shortcoming, and you attribute attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes him similar to non-existence.
فمن قال لا هو مجادل بالعالم ولا مداخل له ولا مداخل بالعالم فهو بمنزلة من قال لا هو قائم بنفسه ولا بغيره ولا حبيبه ولا محتفظ ولا متقدم على العالم ولا مقابل له يقول يعني
And Mahmud ibn Sabak Thakin continues and says, whomever says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in this world and is not involved in this world, then he is in essence saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist by himself and does not exist by other than himself, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not old, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a creator, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not come before the world. So Ibn Taymiyyah says that Muhammad ibn Siktikin disputes these people, and he argues with them and says, whomever claims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not attached to this world and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not separated from this world, whomever says that is saying, is eventually going to reach the same conclusion that others have reached, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this premise will lead them to believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not old, did not create the universe, and he also said, then whomever says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not alive or not living, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not dead, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not hearing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not seeing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak, then this would mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dead, is mute, blind, and deaf. And if they say that blindness is not seeing, then if they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not alive and is not dead and is not hearing and is not seen and does not speak, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be dead, deaf, mute, and blind. So when you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not alive, that means he is dead. And if he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mute. And if he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not seeing, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deaf. And when he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not all seeing, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blind. Then Ibn Taymiyyah says, if they responded and say, not seeing does not mean not being able to see. So
Ibn Taymiyyah says, if they replied and said, not seeing does not mean not able to see. And they said, for example, you cannot call the wall blind because the wall does not see. And you cannot call the wall seeing. They would say, and they have said before, that a wall, for example, does not see and is not blind. And when you understand and know that the wall cannot see, that means you cannot call the wall blind because it cannot see. Ibn Taymiyyah says that we have disputed this with them and we have answered them and told them that these are terms that you have created, and any reasonable person, if you call or if you say to them someone or something is not seeing, that means that to anybody who is seeing, if they're not seeing, then they are blind. If they cannot see, then you won't attribute sight to them. But if you attribute sight to them, whether they can perform it or not, that means they are living. And if you say they cannot see, that means they are blind. And if you say they're not alive, that means they are dead.
وإلا فما يوصف بعدم الحياة والسمع والبصر والكلام يمكن وصفه بالموت والعمى والخرف والرؤية. وأيضا فكل موجود يقبل الاتصال من هذه الأمور ونقائضها. فإن الله قادر على جعل الجماد حيا كما جعل عصا موسى حيا في الكلعة الحلال والحصن. وأيضا فالذي لا يقبل الاتصال بهذه الصفات أعظم من أحسن من أن لا يقبل الاتصال بها مع اتصاله بنقائض الكلام. فالجمال الذي لا يوصف بالبصر ولا
Ibn Taymiyyah says, then if you use that logic, then a wall, for example, that you cannot describe as blind and seeing, and you cannot describe a wall as a speaking or a mute, a wall is even lesser than a living thing that is blind and mute and deaf. So you're attributing things to and assimilating them to dead things like a wall or a stone. And those creatures, or those non-creatures, the non-living creatures, are lesser than creatures that have those shortcomings, such as, or disabilities, such as seeing and hearing, or lacking of. When they say that you cannot call a wall a mute, because the world cannot speak. Well, the world is not capable of speaking to begin with, so a world cannot be called speaking or mute. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that world to speak, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have created the world speaking. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create the world in a manner where it can speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Jesus, that Isa, peace be upon him, used clay and would blow in it with his breath, blow in that clay, and that clay will turn into a bird, for example, a living creature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah that Isa have created with my permission, with my allowance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Isa, who is not a creator, as a human being who is not a creator of other creatures, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that ability at that moment, in that period, as a proof, as a miracle to support his claim as a messenger of God. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give things with known traits a superior trait at a certain time, if he pleases, if he wishes. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Moses a stick, the ability to come to life and turn into a snake and eat the snakes of the magicians that came to challenge Musa, came to challenge Moses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it an attribute that it does not have. And that is another example. Ibn Taymiyyah asks them, what is more perfect, a blind man or a wall? A man that cannot see is more perfect than a wall. So Ibn Taymiyyah tells him that you have refused to assimilate, to give names and attributes to Allah, because these names and attributes makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equal to his creatures. And instead, you gave attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that equates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with non-existent things. So you refused to assimilate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with creatures and accepted to assimilate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with things that are inferior to the creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And you were fine with that.
كيف من قال ذلك على
Ibn Taymiyyah says, the one who has attributed Ibn Taymiyyah condemns those who have attributed to Allah names of similar to non-living things, and those have condemned people who have given names and attributes of Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that suits him. In this paragraph, is a repetition to what we have discussed earlier. Ibn Taymiyyah says that the creature, that accepts to be described in perfection, if you look at the attribute of living, hearing, seeing as is, without being attributed to anything, is living, seeing, hearing perfection or lack of perfection? It is perfection. These are attributes of perfection, being able to hear and see and live. The one who accepts to be described as perfect is perfect. If man accepts to be attributed to have seen and hearing and living attributed to him, and you claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen, living, hearing, and existing, and if man accepts those, then man is perfect. And if you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be those, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lesser than his creatures. We'll stop here inshallah. We'll continue next week. If you have any questions, صلى الله على سيدنا محمد. All praise be to Allah. Inshallah, we'll continue next week.